Yeah. And on my depth charge rack, they said I was mad. They said I were crackers, you know, but I volunteered to have a it were a French, like, what would you call it? Light machine gun. No, it wasn't that big. It wasn't as big as an Oerlikon either. Anyway, it was a French gun that we got with ammunition, and they wanted somebody to use it as an anti-aircraft, you know, in harbour. So I said, "Oh, mount it on my." I said, "I'll have a go." Bloody, well, we're in harbour one day, and the Italians coming round. I think they were only spying on us. I don't think they were going to attack us, but they did do some attacking, but not this particular day. Anyway, I saw this thing through the what they call the Levant. It's low cloud that comes over Gibraltar now and again, and this thing was moving through it. Great big shape was moving through it. So I swung this thing round and had a go at it. All the lads were cheering. Now, undercover, of course. It just kept droning on and on. I thought, well, if I hit it, it must have really bounced off. But I had this silly thing. I have a photograph of that as well. And I've kept records, you know. And that was in harbour. But ashore, we knew, well, we knew Gibraltar like, you know, like you would know your own hometown. It was so in and out, in and out, in and out all the time, yeah.
What was Gibraltar like at that time?
Oh, it's great, happy place, yeah. Proper, well, they still are today. Proper British, no two ways about it. And they used to come in at night. They'd go out across the Spanish. They used to open the gates, old-fashioned gates, you know, old-fashioned. The guard would be there in his kilts sometimes. And they'd come in, stacks of them would come in, work in the docks and what have you, in the morning, but they'd all go out again at night. Yes, they'd go out again at night. There were none of this that they're having today, falling out nonsense, none of that business. No. No.
And what were the facilities like ashore for you and your
Oh, all
crewmates?
right. Yes, all right, yeah. There's on the main street, there's cafes, and I think there was one cinema at the far end. And then, of course, there was the famous watering hole, the Trocadero. And they had a female band. I don't think it were Benson's. I don't think it were Ivy Benson's, but they had a female band in there. And there were other bars as well where they had entertainment, singing and the old guitars and whatnot. You know, they're a bit of entertainment, and you could get some damn good meals, bacon and egg and all that, you know, in these places. So,
Were they on the ration in Malta, in Gibraltar?
no, we didn't notice any rationed on board, but not in Gib. You could go and order a meal, sit down and get it down here.
And was there lots of other troops and naval personnel
Oh,
ashore at the
yes,
time?
yeah, well, it fortified place was Gib, you know, still is, I'm assuming it still is. Yeah. They had their own hospital and everything in the rock, you know. Oh, in the rock, was tunnelled out, lots of things there.
Did you ever visit that area at all?
Yes, I went up top, yeah, and had a look down from the top, and I could see La Linea in Spain and the Bullring down there. Yeah. See the Barbary Apes on your way up. We had to walk it though, we didn't have no lifts.
Was there a gun position right at the top?
Oh yes, gun positions there were, yeah.
Did you ever go across into Spain, or were you allowed to go across into
No,
Spain?
we never got that much leave. You know, he didn't get long enough leave anyway to go across into Spain.
I mean, how often, you said you're in and out of Gibraltar.
Yeah,
How
on
long would you
patrol.
come in on patrols for and be out again, and how much time would you get ashore?
Well, maybe come back in for a day, maybe. You know, maybe 2 days, yeah. But there's always something for you to go out and do. Plenty of activity. You had to keep an eye on things, you say, patrolling.
Can I ask you about that encounter you had with the French destroyers, the four French destroyers, the first time?
Yeah.
Was that after Mirz El Kebir?
Before.
Before.
That's when I think I caught up with them. I think that's where they were making for. And I have a feeling maybe one or two of them might have been one that got smashed up.
And was that an action at night when that occurred?
Yeah, yeah.
What could you see and what was going on? What could you see and what can you remember of what happened on that action?
Which one?
The one where you encountered the four.
Well, they weren't seeking trouble. They were seeking to get in to the med. And we spotted them and decided that we didn't want them to go in. So we exchanged, you know, we fired on them, they fired on us. While they were still making their way in, you know, it wasn't a case of meeting up and having an engagement. They took us on because we took them on. But they were on the way in from the Atlantic, on the way into the Med. Anyway, what they got away, simple as that.
Did they register any hits on the ship at all?
No registered hits on either side.
It sounds to me like you were quite lucky when you engaged the French.
Again.
What was your opinion of their gunnery?
Of what?
What was your opinion of their gunnery?
Rubbish. But not the gun batteries. Good God, no. Nor the Strasbourg. But, I mean, you see, it wasn't a proper engagement then for. It was a case of meeting up quick sort of thing. It was nothing planned. Whereas everything was planned at Oran. Mirz El Kebir, you see, everything was planned. And they knew exactly what they were going to do and who were going to do what. We picked up a couple of crews of swordfish from Hart Royal. We picked the crews up. They were glad to see us. They'd been shot down. Yeah.
Where was that?
Oran, yeah. Yeah, we picked them up, a couple of crews. We got off light and finish, I think, with the engagement as a whole, you know. I know there were some aircraft lost, not much, two or three maybe.
What happened after that engagement? Did you continue to patrol, or did you have any other duties?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what we did do. This is on Ressler again, you know. I think a flying boat had picked up a sub and reported it. Anyway, we went to investigate and we brought this Italian ocean-going great big sub up, the Durbo, and the skipper decided that if we could, we'd have the confidential books.
Can you tell me right from the start of the engagement what happened, how it all unfolded? How it all unfolded,
yes.
once you got the message that the submarine had been spotted?
Well, we went in and attacked her. We depth charged her and everything. And we brought her up. And then the skipper said, well, additional guns to some of the crew. He just said, fire over the edge as they appear on the conning tower, you know. And that's exactly what happened. They just fired over the edge. And then he put a boat down and a sub-lieutenant and two ratings went down below and as fast as they could because they thought sea cocks had probably been opened. Anyway, he managed to get the confidential books. I think he got an award for it, actually, later. And they brought them back aboard, but it sunk. They had done that. And from the information in that book, they went out and they gave the information to the fleet and they went and sank another one, the La Folle, they called it, from the information we got out of these books, from the Durbo, from sinking the Durbo.
When the action had first started, was the submarine on the surface or was it...
Oh, no, submerged, yeah. And we brought the crew on board, of course, and we were having a natter to them and it just shows you fortunes of war again. One of them said to us, he said, you know, we had you in our sights yesterday. We had you lined up, he said, but we couldn't do anything because it was too rough. And it was. It was far too rough to fire a torpedo. It's just so we just couldn't do it. That was day before. Yeah.
So you've been responsible for depth charging.
Oh yeah.
Releasing the depth charges,
yes,
that had done it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know you were successful on that occasion very quickly, or was it? Did it take a couple of attempts?
No, you just circle around and you keep the ASIC man keeps pinging away. What you call pinging? He'd keep contacting, you know, to see if he could pick it up again after we'd attacked. You see, and then suddenly she broke surface. You see, that were it. She damaged enough to say, right, we've got to get out of here. Which they did, you see.
And how did the crew feel about bringing an Italian submarine to the surface?
Oh, everybody right chuffed, yeah. Yeah, another one. Another one less for us to bother about. As I say, you see, they were after us as much as we were after them, they were after us.
Would it be that you'd often get contacts where you'd do depth charges where you weren't sure if it was a submarine or not?
Oh, yes, many a time that would happen. You know, you wouldn't be sure. You wouldn't claim a kill. You know, you could claim maybe, or anyway, the investigators had sort all that out, you know, Admiralty boys, from your reports and everything, they'd sort all that out. But you didn't bother too much dwelling on that sort of thing, because you, as I say, you always had something to do. You're off again looking for another one all.
And with that, what did the Italian submarine crew look like? What were they dressed in?
No, they weren't in uniform or anything like that. They just had, like we would have, at sea, anything on. You know, you put anything on. A mixture of your uniform, maybe trousers, and something that you'd had sent out for to wear, you know, to keep you warm or whatever. You'd have a mixture of gear. Yeah. Once you got at sea, you didn't bother. You know, there's other things to do besides get dressed.